Hi, I'm Nora Ansel. I am from Missouri. I have von Willebrand's and Ehlers-Danlos. I don't know if I say that right because I just got diagnosed with that. I have a son who has von Willebrand's and factor 5 deficiency, and another son who is unknown right now. And I've been coming for 3 years.
Kelly from Louisiana. I have von Willebrand's 2B. This is my second year.
Lori Moore of Vaz, Missouri. Von Willebrand's and I form DVTs.
Hi, my name is Laura Portales. I have von Willebrand's and I also have 2 daughters. This is my second year.
I'm Christina from Kansas. I have von Willebrand's. This is my first year.
Hi, my name is Blanca Ramirez. I have type 1 von Willebrand. I've been coming since 1999. So do the math.
Since 1999, a group of women with bleeding and clotting disorders has been gathering in a small town in Texas for a weekend of education, connection, and relaxation. Many of the women here identify first and foremost as a caregiver to someone else, but they have their own diagnoses as well. Hemophilia, von Willebrand, lupus anticoagulant, MTHFR mutation, qualitative platelet disorder, to name just a few. And too often their own care takes a back seat to caring for others. Over time, that can take a big toll. 20 years ago, an HTC in Houston recognized that toll and decided to create a retreat that was the first of its kind, one that focused exclusively on women. In this podcast series, we'll take a close look at how that retreat has evolved over the last 20 years. We break this journey down into 3 parts, from uniting, to believing, to empowering women.
I am strong.
I am bold.
I am vibrant.
I am courageous.
I am confident.
I am awesome.
I am divine.
I am lovable.
Hi, my name is Heather Robb, and welcome to episode 1 of our series. This episode is entitled Uniting Women. In September of 2018, my team from Believe Limited was lucky enough to spend the weekend with a remarkable group of women at Camp Allen in Novosota, Texas, an hour northwest of Houston. From Thursday night to midday Sunday, the action was nonstop. There were specialists leading educational workshops with titles like Bleeding-Specific Genetics and How to Get Involved. There were open-topic conversations for different age groups to talk about the issues affecting them at that specific stage of life. But maybe most importantly, there were tons of activities that had nothing to do with anyone's diagnosis, at least not directly. Horseback riding, canoeing, Zumba, movie night, casino night, s'mores for goodness sake. It was like summer camp for grown-ups, with a hand-painted sign on the door that said, "No boys allowed." And as someone who hasn't attended summer camp in many, many years and thought grown-ups didn't get to do fun stuff like that anymore, my first question was, how? How did this come to be? How did these women unite in the first place 20 years ago? Somewhat ironically, it was thanks to the work of a man, Ed Kubler.
Well, they sent the interest finder out just to see what the ladies and the girls were. You know, what do you feel that you need? What can we do for you? Mm-hmm. And we all filled it out. We were all putting, you know, let's have a weekend of education. We want education. We want to get to know other people that are like us, yeah. You know, that deal with the same things we do. My name is Melissa Reifke, and I'm from Pearland, Texas, and I have von Willebrand's disease and QPD, which is qualitative platelet disorder.
Melissa is one of a handful of women who have attended this retreat since the very beginning. We're going to hear from Melissa a lot this episode, because this is a big year for her. Her first as retreat director, taking over the role Ed has played for 20 years.
We got 33 back within about a month, and usually people don't respond.
This is Ed Kubler.
How many of you answer surveys when you get them or do those, you know, did you like this? Would you? People don't do that.
Ed wasn't expecting to hear back from many people. How many of you answer surveys when you get them in the mail? So when they got 33 responses back within a month, it spoke volumes.
So that said a lot to me about women. And it, on that paper, they wrote on the back, they wrote on the sides. It was about not having a voice. It was about not being heard, not having their diagnosis recognized, not being diagnosed accurately. All of those started coming in, and I realized these women needed a voice. They needed a place to come and just be together.
So with a new understanding of the need, Ed began the process of looking for funding. That first year, he was able to find one sponsor who was willing to step up and make this idea possible, which meant cost didn't have to be a barrier for any woman who wanted to attend.
I believe that's why it became a success. And our funder, our sponsor, gave us a significant amount of money to
take care of all their needs. Mm-hmm. And what I realized, and still when I do my programs today, if you make it available and cost is not a barrier, then there's no reason someone couldn't come unless the timing was wrong. Maybe they were afraid, and they may want to come. And we're talking about women who never get attention, women who never get recognized, who put themselves last. They're not going to use money to take away from family or whatever, just for themselves. The biggest question was, did you get enough women? And so the story of, well, we put out and got over 30, and I think we had about 35 to 38 women show up that first year, which I thought was a huge success.
That first retreat had participants from the four states in the Great Plains region: Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. Here's Melissa reflecting on the first year.
It was wonderful because we got doctors that came in and talked to us. We had nurses, we had the social worker talk to us, and we talked about so many different aspects of life. It wasn't just, this is your diagnosis, let's teach you about it. It was, this is your diagnosis. This is how you deal with this part of your diagnosis, dealing with the rest of your life, how it affects, you know, maybe your job or affects you at school or affects your relationships with your spouse, things like that. They had rocking chairs, so we'd sit out on the rocking chairs. We would just walk around it. The property was beautiful. So it gave us a lot of time to re-energize ourselves and just talk to other people that were dealing with the same things, that had kids maybe the same age as us. And they weren't from the same area as us. They were from other places. So we expanded our network. We expanded our friendships.
So that was our very first one. Who was here for that? A few of you, yeah. So you remember, it was pretty powerful. A lot of tears, a lot of laughing. But what it started was what we have today.
Although things have improved in recent years, women in the bleeding and clotting disorders world have a long history of being overlooked. Many of these women were told for most of their life that they were just carriers, a theme we'll get into more in upcoming episodes. On average, there is a 16-year gap from a woman's first symptom to her diagnosis. And still today, 9 out of 10 are not properly diagnosed. 20 years ago, when this retreat started, these statistics were even worse. So the simple act of uniting these women to talk about their experiences was actually pretty revolutionary. And over the years, as more women discover they're more than just carriers, that need has grown, which is why the retreat has doubled in size since 1999, now welcoming participants from 8 states: Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and Iowa.
So the important thing is, ladies, look around this room. How many other ladies are in here that are just like you? Okay? We all are going through not necessarily the exact same things, but very similar things. So when you feel like you don't have a family, you don't have a support network, think about this right here. You do. Okay? We are a family, and we lean on each other when we need to. Okay? When you need something, you call your friends. Right here, you got a huge group of them, okay? Don't ever forget that, ever.
Being there, it honestly did feel like a family reunion. And deepening that feeling is the fact that many of these women attend with their daughters. Melissa's been bringing her daughter, Grace, ever since that first year.
My name is Grace DeFord. I have been coming to our Empowering Women camp since the very beginning. So let's see, 18 years, I do believe. I think this will be either 18 or 19 years for us. When we started this camp, I was 8 years old, and it was a massive, massive deal for me because it helped me understand I wasn't a freak, I wasn't alone.
On the other side of the spectrum were Rose and Rihanna Gomez, a mother and daughter attending for the very first time. Their family has been active in the community for years, but the focus had always been on Rihanna's younger brother, Ryan, who has severe hemophilia A. Rihanna has spent most of her life in denial about her own diagnosis of mild hemophilia. But when she volunteered at Ryan's camp over the summer and heard about this retreat, she approached her mom.
She was in denial. You know, we would go to these conferences, and she wouldn't even go to the tracks for the siblings, and she really wouldn't talk about her bleeding disorder to me or my husband, or it was always about Bubba. It was always about Ryan. But she volunteered for boys' camp. Because my son's been going to Camp Alapoma since he was 7. And Rihanna volunteered this past summer because they were short of camp counselors. That's one thing about the bleeding disorder community. We're very kind and very compassionate, and she's got a big heart. But I was so surprised, one, that she wanted to do it, because again, she really doesn't like talking about her bleeding disorder. And two, that when she came back, she told me about this woman's retreat, because she met some other girls who were camp counselors or something like that. So as a young woman, I think she's coming to terms to where she wants to learn about her own bleeding disorder, and that's why we're here.
One family actually had three generations in attendance.
I said we won the blood lottery, but they haven't sent the money yet. My name is Jennifer Simpson, and I'm 48 years old.
Jennifer and her mom, Sally, are charter members. They've been attending since the first year, when Jennifer's daughter, John Rose, was 5 months old. She's now 19. Here's Jennifer again.
We enjoy it as a family, and I'm thankful, grateful for the support that it's given us, and the strength, and the ability to advocate for ourselves. Even though we have each other, and, mm-hmm. and we're family strong, we have an extended family in the community.
Daughters of any age have always been welcome at the retreat. For many years, the girls would sit on a pile of pillows in the middle of a circle while their mothers talked over their heads. But a couple of years ago, the board created Camp Dare to Soar, a completely separate track for 12 to 17-year-olds. They're on their own campus enjoying programming customized to their needs, with a separate director, two counselors, and a counselor in training, or CIT. Providing that safe, structured environment serves the dual purpose of giving the teens some treasured privacy while allowing their moms to really focus on themselves and take advantage of the myriad activities available to them.
I usually start my yoga practice differently, but today we're going to start standing. So just come all the way to the front of your mat. This is how we present ourselves to the world. So
for those who don't know me, my name is TJ. I have been coming here to teach you guys Zumba and Aqua Zumba for 3 years.
So do the purple first and try the black marker over the top.
That's so good, Barbara.
Oh, excellent.
Those are snippets from some of the activities I mentioned earlier. Zumba, yoga, canoeing, horseback riding, you name it. But don't be fooled. Even activities that seemed straightforward take on a deeper meaning and importance here. For example, this arts and crafts workshop, led by Kate Nomaker, Senior Director of Education at the National Hemophilia Foundation.
This workshop was developed actually specifically around women, and women often feel like they're wearing all these multiple masks. I'm a mom here, I'm a professional here, I'm a nurse, you know, by default over here taking care of my kids or my family and all of that. And so to have an opportunity to put that out in a way that women don't always get, to really just be creative in a different way. And through that creativity comes a lot of discussion and sharing. And so the outside of the mask is, you know, how you think the world perceives you, as well as maybe what you intentionally put out in the world.
Yeah.
And then about 10 minutes from now, we'll flip them over and they'll start to work on the inside, which is, you know, how do you see yourself?
Even though it was a deeply personal project, the women in this arts and crafts workshop were kind enough to let us record them sharing their masks. Every description was moving, but this one in particular stood out.
So on the outside of mine, I've got the sun and the moon, because I want everybody, I mean, I'm for everybody else. I want everybody else to be happy. I want to move this, you know, the earth and the moon, you know, for everybody else. I mean, I want to be the one, if you need something, I'm going to be right there. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, doesn't matter what I have going on, I want to be there for everybody else. And so then I have, of course, my children are like busybodies, so I have a football and I have a cheerleading megaphone, because I, you know, want to do everything for my children. I mean, they could not ask me to do something that I would say no to. I don't know how to say no. So I have a Wonder Woman symbol because, you know, I feel like, you know, if Wonder Woman can do it, so can I. So I have that. And then I have family or friends on this side. And I have, you know, a rainbow because I think, you know, okay, everything's perfect, you know, on the outside. So, you know, I want to give off that persona where, no, everything's great. But let's flip over and look. And I have a fire because, you know, it feels like everything's burning at both ends. I'm going, you know. I get up and go to work at, I have to be to work at 5 o'clock in the morning and I drive an hour to work. So, you know, I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning and we're busy until 10 p.m. So I have fire burning at both ends. I just have like a black blob because, you know, a lot of times that's, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, I feel like I'm not good enough. So, you know, I feel like, what else can I do? What else can I give up so someone else can be happy? I have a huge fear because, you know, we lived in poverty and I will not push that onto my children. So, like, I'm going to start crying. So I give my kids way too much. My husband, I've gotten married recently, and he's like, quit giving in to the kids, you know, because I lived in a horrible relationship where, you know, I wanted my kids to not have to worry about. So, you know, I have a fear of not being good enough for them. Okay. So, I have a huge lack of confidence in myself because, you know, I'm like, how did I let my kids live in that? You know, my kids watch me get the crap beat out of me every day, you know, because I took a vow that said in sickness and in health, you know, and so I allowed my kids to see that. So then now I compensate for that. Tears. I have tears on here.
Look at you now.
And so.
You didn't just like not do anything. You are in a whole new spot today, and you are in a room of people that are here and support you and are with you 100%.
So that's my mask.
Thank you.
The level of trust at this retreat was deep, longstanding. The comfort these women felt with each other was incredible, and although it was cultivated over the years, there was a special aspect to this year's gathering, because this was the year that Ed started his retirement, and the women took the reins.
About 5 years ago, you know, I kept saying to my planning committee, you know, you need to run this. You're the women. I'm a male social worker, and I love you all. And I love doing this, but it's your voice, it's your place, it's your time to do it. It's really nice when you can be at the beginning of something and then hand it over and let it become what it needs to be by the people who need to be doing it. Melissa is a sweetheart, and I love her strength, and I love her passion for this. She's the one who raised her hand.
Here's Melissa Reifke again.
I love planning things, and I have the time to do it. It's just something I love. I really do. And to be able to do it on a subject matter that's so near and dear to me just makes it that much better.
And I do remember just talking about that the last couple of programs before she fully took over, she's like, Ed, why don't you let me do that? And I needed to listen. That was her saying, I can do this.
When Ed started this retreat in 1999, it was called the Great Plains Women with Bleeding and Clotting Disorders Annual Retreat. But with the change of leadership came a change of name.
We started thinking about, you know, okay, well, what are we trying to do? What are we trying to teach the women? What is our mission? What is our goal? Well, we're trying to empower the ladies. Why don't we call it Empowering Women? And we did our little research to make sure that there wasn't another organization with that name, and there wasn't, and that's kind of how it came about. That's what we're trying to do, so why not have that be our name?
Empowering Women with Bleeding and Clotting Disorders, a mission summed up in a name. What this retreat demonstrates is that empowerment is a multi-step process, a culmination, not something that merely happens. As you've heard, the step we've focused on in this episode is uniting, bringing together women from 8 states across the Great Plains to share their experiences with one another. That is a powerful thing. Our next episode focuses on believing, the empowerment that results from having those experiences taken seriously. Sadly, that's a rarity for many of these women. So please join us next time when we'll explore the power of being believed. I'm Heather Robb. Thanks for listening.
Bloodstream Stories is proud to bring you this special series produced and directed by Heather Robb with support from the entire Bloodstream Media and Believe Limited teams. Empowering Women is written by Heather Robb with support from Seth Kirshner, edited by Josh Davis, mixed by Josh Davis, with support from Michael Capuano at Iceman Sound and Scotty Ray. Executive producers Patrick James Lynch and Ryan Geelan. To respect the privacy of the participants, we are not including the interviewees in the credits, but we'd like to extend a special, huge thank you to Melissa Reifke, Ed Kubler, and each of the women who courageously share their story for this series in hopes of helping others understand they are not alone. Visit www.bloodstreampod.com for more information on this series, on the Empowering Women Retreat, and our monthly flagship podcast, The Bloodstream Podcast. Bloodstream Podcast is a free monthly podcast that takes a 360-degree look at the bleeding disorders community, complete with community news, informed opinionating, and amazing in-depth interviews you won't hear anywhere else. You can find it and our other podcast series anywhere podcasts are distributed: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, your favorite podcast app, and elsewhere. If you like this long-form series, may I suggest a couple others from our team? VWD Diagnosis, Treatment, and Life is a 90-minute, three-episode journey through all facets of living with VWD, featuring interviews with patients from all over the world, clinicians, and experts from NHF and HFA. You can hear this by subscribing to Bloodline, our long-form channel, anywhere podcasts are distributed, or visit www.bloodlinepod.com. Also, check out The Factor Revolution, The Last 60 Years in Hemophilia Treatment, a three-episode special series with over 40 interviews from community members, doctors, experts, and advocates. We take a deep look at the history of factor treatment from the 1950s to today. The Factor Revolution pulls together source material, news reports, white papers, and original audio content from the film Bad Blood and the HIV Story Project. You can hear this by searching the back catalog of Bloodstream Podcasts anywhere podcasts are distributed, or visit www.bloodlinepod.com. Happy listening.